Mark chapter 1, it says, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just ask you, in Jesus' name, allow me to share your word this morning in a way that would inspire your people. But more than that, Lord, it would move us toward a greater obedience to Jesus. I pray the truths that are found in your word could be brought forth clearly, and that you, the Holy Spirit, would be the teacher for all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of God. He calls it the gospel of God. The word gospel means good news. And this is what Jesus talked about, the good news of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled. When you read that, it seems like he's talking about something that the people have been waiting for some time. And now it's here. The time is fulfilled. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for a Messiah, somebody who would come and bring deliverance, somebody who would come and set them free. They had in their mind a picture of someone kind of like King David, but our Messiah Jesus really carried out his ministry way different than David, didn't he? But nonetheless, here he is. And that's the good news that he's talking about. The one that you've been waiting for is finally here. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And so his word is, repent and believe in the gospel. I was trying to think about an example of how to express this to you. I'm going to share with you what is a crude example, and I don't want you in any way to put on the same par the kingdom of Jesus with what I'm about to tell you, but it's the only thing I can think of that brings such a dramatic change almost immediately into someone's life and requires a change or a response. And what I thought of was, I've seen movies of what it was like in World War II when the Germans would come into a city. It was a different regime. It was a different order. It was a different command, different king, so to speak. And you would see these movies of people living their life. You know, they're farmers. They're out taking care of their cows. They have their kids going to school and just kind of living life. And all of a sudden, you know, one morning you wake up and you see these paratroopers coming in out of the sky, and you hear trucks rolling in and tanks rumbling into the ground. And all of a sudden, everything in your village changes. You're under a new regime. There's something, a different kingdom has now come into your territory. And because there's a different kingdom, and it was a ruthless one, it required a response from the people. It required them to sometimes be executed, sometimes, I don't know. So please understand me again, I'm talking about a very crude example. But in a way, this is what Jesus has done. He has come into the world, a different regime, a different kingdom, a different king. And he's saying, hey, because this new kingdom is here, it's going to require a different response. And that's why he throws out the very first word, repent. There's a new king. Things will be different now. I'm coming in here to destroy the works of the enemy. And in that sense, he was much like King David, come to be a victor, a conqueror. And he came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy the effects of sin in our life. And he's saying there's a new king here. Different set of laws, different set of rules and regulations, a new king. And the only thing we can do to respond to him is this word, repent. And the word repent is a very interesting word in the Greek language. It simply means to change your thinking in such a way that it brings about a change in your life. There's lots of people who maybe acknowledge Jesus or acknowledge the kingdom or acknowledge the gospel of God, but they've never followed through with this concept of change your thinking. There's a new kingdom here. How are you going to respond to it? Change your thinking. Repent. Turn. And begin to believe. Believe what he's saying about his kingdom. Believe what he teaches. Believe him. Respond to him. He's the new Lord. He's the new king. And that's the message. Sometimes we read this and it kind of gets, I don't know, just watered down a little bit when we just hear these words, repent, gospel. They don't seem to make sense, but you need to know that Jesus came as a conqueror. And the offer of grace and the offer of the call to repent is really his extending peace to you. Look at this scripture in Acts 17. The times of ignorance God overlooked. He's speaking here about all the Old Testament times, all the way through until the time of Jesus. And he said, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now that Jesus has come, now that there's a new kingdom, now this gospel of God has been spoken. It's the gospel is heralding, it is saying something. Hey, there's a new king, there's a new kingdom here. Respond to it. And the word is repent, turn, change your thinking so that your life begins to be changed. And the times of ignorance God looked at, but now he commands all people everywhere. This is the whole world. He commands all people everywhere to repent. It is because he came to reach the entire world. He came to reach people in Alliance, in Ohio, in the United States, and in Zimbabwe, or in Norway, or in Germany, or wherever else they may be. He says, in the times past, God overlooked it. He overlooked it, this ignorance. He just overlooked it somehow. But now because this king has come, now because a new kingdom is here, he's calling people to repent. There's a new regime. Change what you're thinking. Change how you're thinking about it. And respond to him. And the reason why he calls us to repent here is found in verse 31. It says, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. One thing you need to understand is that the fact of the resurrection proves a judgment. Jesus is coming back to judge the world. You see, he commands all people in the world to repent because he's coming back to judge the world. It is by his grace and his mercy that he is extending this, I don't know, palm branch or an olive branch of peace. He's saying, look, there's a new kingdom coming and it is going to destroy everything that is against God. And I'm a new king and I want you to change the way you're thinking about this and begin to yield to me and respond to me. And I'm telling you this because a day is coming when I will return and judge the world in righteousness. And the only way to escape that judgment is by accepting my call to repent. That's what repentance is. It is the olive branch offered by this new king with a new kingdom who's going to change everything in the day of judgment. It's his offer of peace. It's like that German army that came into take over a new city, and you're saying, hey, just do what we want. Do what we want, because we're here to destroy this city otherwise. And again, it's a very crude. And please don't leave here today and say, Kirk thinks the kingdom of God is like the Nazis. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to give you a picture of something that happened in history that maybe we can grasp. And that is what's happening in the kingdom of God. That is why there is an urgency in the heart of the Lord and in the heart of the Apostle Paul and others to preach this gospel and to offer the repentance. We're sometimes afraid of the word repent because we think it's going to turn people away, but that is the olive branch. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is here. Change the way you're thinking in such a way that it changes the direction of your life. So he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. That's Jesus. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Turn over to Matthew 21, if you would. You know, all of us, no matter how nice we were before we knew Jesus, were guilty of rebellion against that regime, the kingdom of God. We all rebelled against it. We're all sinners in that sense. And so he's coming to all people. He's saying, I'm offering you peace. And it comes through repentance. There's a scripture I don't have on my notes here, but it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse like 8 and 9 or 10, somewhere around there. But I wrote down, it says that he will return when Jesus returns a second time. And it says he will inflict vengeance on those who do not know God. That's something hard to understand. You know, how could God do that? Well, he's coming to destroy the works of the enemy. And he will inflict vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So there's this good news. What is the good news? You know, if there's this judgment coming, what's the good news? The good news is you don't have to be judged. The good news is you can have a relationship with him. The good news is you can be receiving forgiveness of all the sins you've ever committed. The good news is you can be brought into his kingdom as a child of God. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And those who reject that, it says they will suffer punishment of eternal destruction. So let's read now this story in Matthew 21, verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching, and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now, how many of you know when somebody asks that question, they're not really interested in knowing. It's pushback. In other words, they're saying, "Who do you think you are doing these things or teaching these things?" That's what the question's all about. Who gave you this right? Who gave you this authority? So we're talking, first of all, today about authority. Keep that in your mind, authority. By what authority are you doing these? Who gave you this authority? And Jesus answered, "I'm going to ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things." And here's the question of Jesus. The baptism of John, from where did it come? Was it from heaven or was it of man? And so they, you know, these guys all kind of grouped together over here on the side, and they discussed it among themselves, saying, "Well, if we say it came from heaven, then he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? See, there's this idea that if something is from heaven, if there's this authority that's from heaven, why aren't you believing it? They understood that. So if we say it's from heaven, then he's going to ask us, well, why didn't we believe? But if we say it's from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. The crowd basically believed that he was from God. And so they gave what I would call a political answer. They answered Jesus, we don't know. And he said to them, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Why did they give a political answer? I don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe they were afraid to commit to say, yeah, Jesus, the authority you have does come from God. Because if it does, it means I got to change my thinking. If your authority is from God, then if I reject you, I'm rejecting God. That's really the essence of it. No, the authority you receive in Jesus Christ will tell whether or not you walk in obedience to him. And these guys understood that. Maybe they were jealous. Maybe they were convicted because of things Jesus told the crowds was things they were doing. They were convicted of their own sin, didn't want to acknowledge it. Who knows? There was some reason why they just wanted to push back at Jesus. Say, hey, who gave you the authority to speak this way? And Jesus put them on the spot and said, you need to decide who your authority is, really. And so then Jesus, after sharing that with these guys and having this dialogue, he says, I'm going to tell you a story. And he says, what do you think? A man had two sons. And so he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. So you have a picture of authority here. You have a father who has authority over his children. And he says, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterwards, it says, he changed his mind. This word, changed his mind, is the same Greek word, repent. Matter of fact, some versions of your Bible, maybe if you're using King James as an example, would say, afterwards he repented and he went. What happened there? Well, this first boy, he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand against your authority. You're asking me to go work in your vineyard. I'm saying no. But afterwards, for whatever reason, he reconsidered and he says, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go do what you asked. That's what happened to the first boy. And he went to the other son, this father, went to the other son, and he said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Did the lights just go out? Was that something you guys did, or was that just something happened? Okay. All right. Well, I want to look good on the video. Anything to help that, go ahead and do it. Maybe turn the lights all the way out. Is my head shining? All right. This second son said, I go, sir. But he did not go. And then Jesus asked the question, which of these two did the will of the Father? And they said the first. And that's, you know, that's a logical question, easy answer. You had somebody who said no at first, rejected the ask of the Father, but later repented and went. He changed his mind, not just saying, oh, I should have gone, or it would have been a good thing for me to have gone. No, he went. He changed his mind to such a degree that it actually moved him to do the thing the Father asked. It was a change of mind that caused a change of action. The second brother was all about, I don't know, just lip service. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll go. Yes, Father. But there was never follow through. And it's easy to say words to our Father, to our Heavenly Father, about the will of God, and never really follow through. And what I want to say to you today is that this heart of repentance that Jesus calls us to is the thing which allows us to constantly turn to the will of the Father. See, repentance is like the initiation, in a sense, into the kingdom. Like when the people on the day of Pentecost asked Peter, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. So it was, in a sense, an initiation into the kingdom, a starting point, so to speak. But there's also a need for us as we walk with our Father. This is a story about a father and sons. There's already a relationship there. This is not initiation into a family. This is a father who has sons, a father with authority and sons who are his. And he's asking them to go work in the vineyard. And some say, yes, I'll go, and they never go. And some say, no, but there's a repentance, a change of mind that somehow begins to acknowledge the authority of the Father and the desire of his heart. And they say yes. And so when you think of repentance, don't think of it as a one-time, oh, I repented 20 years ago. Okay, well, how are you doing with the will of God today? Is there a need today? Is the Father saying something to you today? Is Jesus asking something of you today? Hey, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay, you know what? I need to change my thinking here and actually do what he wants. Love my neighbor. Why? Because there's a new kingdom here. There's a new regime. There's a new king. Repent. Change your thinking. The kingdom of God is here. A new king is here. Repent and believe. And so we say, yes, Lord, I want to change my thinking and go love my neighbor the way you want. It's your will. It's your desire. And that's why I believe that repentance is an ongoing process in our Christian life that acknowledges the authority of Jesus. It acknowledges him as the authority, as the king, as the one who's bringing his kingdom, and responds to it. And that's why repentance is considered in the Bible a foundational doctrine, found in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. It's a foundational doctrine. You need it as part of your foundation. And so Jesus now kind of sums up the story, the moral of the story, so to speak. And he said, truly I say to you, the tax collectors. Now the tax collectors, in the minds of these men that were talking to Jesus, were like the offscouring of the world. They're the thieves. They're taking more than they should. Nobody liked the tax collectors. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you know those tax collectors? And what about the prostitutes out there? I know you don't like them. They're going into the kingdom of God before you. Why is that? Well, they're like that first son. They said, I'm not going to do it. But later, they repented and they went. The tax collector, the prostitute, he's saying these people were just like that first son who really didn't have a heart to do the will of the Father. But later they repented and they went. And then he says the tax collector and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came. John did come, and he is from God, by the way. John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Amen? Isn't that awesome? The tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind, repent. You did not afterward repent and believe him. And so Jesus, he ties the concept of repentance into authority. And he's saying to you, I want you to learn to acknowledge me as king. The kingdom of God is coming. Repent and believe the gospel. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or from God? Is Jesus from heaven or from the earth? And if you acknowledge him as the authority in your life and yield to that, he is my king. He is the one I respond to. That is what enables us and empowers us to walk in daily repentance. So I'd like you to stand with me as we close here. And I want you to think about repentance this way. First, it is a first step into the kingdom. Praise God for that. The king has come. He's saying, hey, there's a new kingdom. There's a day coming when I'm going to return and judge the world in righteousness. I'm offering you peace. It's the gospel of peace. How do I get that, Lord? Repent. Acknowledge me as from God. Acknowledge my authority. Change your thinking and come and follow me. That's really the offer. That's what he's offering to all people everywhere. But then I believe that repentance is in a way like a characteristic that we walk in constantly. How many of you, let me ask a question, raise your hand if you're not ashamed. How many of you have been perfectly walking with Jesus since the day you got saved? Let me see your hands. Okay, so what does that mean? It means we repent. As we say, you are my authority, Lord. I'm going to change my thinking and begin to respond to you. And the thing about him is he is a gentle shepherd. He doesn't overwhelm you with repentance. But at unique times in your life, he will put his finger upon your life and say, Kirk, you need to repent and change your thinking. And not just think about it, but actually go and work in the vineyard, like he said here. Actually do what the Father asks. So I'm asking you today, how are you doing with that? When you sense the Lord speaking to you, or you see something in the Scripture, or you know God has put something on your heart, what are you doing with it? Because we really have only two choices. One is to be like the first son who, yeah, maybe for a while you said no, but you know you're saying yes, Lord, now. You're saying yes. Or you could be like the older brother, the other brother, and say, okay, Lord, but never really do anything. And I hope because of your relationship to him and your acknowledging of his authority, you would actually go and do what he wants. That's really what it means to walk with Jesus. I don't know, when I read this story here, I'm thinking like, I'm happy to be associated with the tax collectors and prostitutes. Wouldn't you be? Nobody here? All right, well, then that's all right. I mean, would you rather be with the tax collectors and prostitutes or these Pharisees who are pushing back? Saying, who gave you this authority in my life? I'd rather be with those who maybe lived that terrible life for so long, but then said, hey, this is what Jesus wants, and they turn. That's where I want to be. Amen. Father, I pray for all of us here to be able to rejoice in the good news of God. The good news of the kingdom. that you came to deliver us, to set us free, to give us eternal life, to give us a relationship with you. You came to destroy the works of the enemy, and you offer to all people the good news of peace, a reconciled relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that as we enter into that and we continue to walk with you, there would always be a soft heart that's yielded to the authority of Jesus Christ, that's easy to repent and to follow your path. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.